from the US. Welcome to you, Botta. Thanks a lot for coming on my program.
Absolutely, man. Glad you guys are back from the airwaves down under, man. I'm glad a lot of fellow NFL fans down here in Australia are ready for the NFL draft, man. Yeah, that's something to look forward to.
So you've still got a draft coming, and there's still a thought that NFL could happen in stadiums with no crowds and maybe in U.S. college stadiums?
The NFL draft will happen. It'll be next Thursday here on American soil. And they're going to do it virtually. They're going to do it through the Zoom app. They're going to do it through Skype and FaceTime. GMs like John Lynch here with the San Francisco 49ers will be at his home. Kyle Shanahan will be at his home. And they'll be communicating through Zoom and social and technology. Unfortunately, the draft picks, you know, guys who are used to going to New York City or Chicago or wherever the draft was held, and it was going to be held in Las Vegas this year, unfortunately, they have to stay home and just, you know, get the phone call. So a draft will happen. However, we don't know when the games will be played, especially out here in California. The governor here in California, Gavin Newsom, has basically said throughout the summer, there will be no big festivals. There will be no big get-togethers, no gatherings. And so they're thinking at the earliest Thanksgiving Day, which happens out here in late November.
Just lost you there, Botta. We'll come back to you and try and get a better line, unfortunately. A few more on the speckled text whilst you try and get Botta on a better line. Dwayne, Forster coaches have all said that they should actually coach for more flair, force them to coach with more flair and have starting positions and 5, 5, and 5, three in the centre square at any time. Yeah, reducing the numbers on the field has been one thing to allow more one-on-one contests. It's been talked about quite a bit. 100% right about the flair not being there. Individuality is frowned upon because some players are obviously wild outside of football, and that's a bad image for the club. Clubs, players, etc. can't say anything because if they do, people like you will fill a show talking about them. Steve, yeah, we do. We do talk about the things that are said and done by players, but that's the beauty of the personality and the charisma of all of the players over the course of time. Dermot Brereton was a front page story. You know, when he would ride his Harley Davidson into the foyer of the Metro nightclub and park it there and hand his helmet to the bouncer and walk in and sit at the bar. I mean, those kind of stories were phenomenal stories, but Dermot wasn't afraid to have that kind of story told. That was the beauty of the charisma that was allowed back then. Yeah, we'd talk about it, but some players were quite happy for you to talk about it and let it be chewable by the overall media throng that were about to pounce. But, you know, it was water off a duck's back for guys like Derm. Dwayne, you're on the money. We've had a generation of coaches learn and teach the defensive game style. The team that breaks that mould will succeed. I think a few of our texters have been reasonably correct that in recent times there is flags won by teams that have shown more flair, and that's a good thing. Take a couple of calls after it. In fact, Botta's back. Welcome to you, Botta. We've got you back on a better line, I understand.
Yeah, sorry about that, Dwayne. I really apologize, man. Not sure what's going on there. Just to follow up on what you asked me there about the NFL draft and whether or not we'll have a season. The NFL draft will take place next Thursday. However, we have no idea when games will be played. Baseball is still not being played out here. The NBA is still trying to figure out what it's doing. So your guess is as good as mine as when it comes to when the NFL would get back to playing games. I mean, we're a long way away here, a long way away, but things are looking pretty bleak.
And most people, if they are making plans for the resumption of sport, I presume it's going to be without crowds until what, even halfway through 2021?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the first thing people are asking. Well, when are you going to get these games and what locations? Now, you think about when you have an NBA game, you have, 12 members in uniform on each team. You have about 5 to 8 coaches. You have the training staff. You have score officials. You have broadcasters who will probably have to do the games from home. There's going to be no fans, unfortunately. And some people are thinking, do we even want the games back without fans? You think about the playoffs, Dwayne. Playoffs, what makes the playoffs great is the home court advantage. When you get a home crowd rallying behind the home team when they're down in the fourth quarter and that crowd starts roaring, it's going to be a difference. But that's the first step of having games without fans. Now, let me talk about Major League Baseball for a second. They had a radical idea of having have their games in Arizona, have their games in Florida. You know, the Grapefruit League in Florida and its spring training, the Cactus League in Arizona, where they would play at these spring training facilities. And the players, get this, the players would have to sit 6 feet apart in the bleachers. Now, how is that going to work when, say, for example, you have a double play where the ball is in the pitcher's head, it goes off the bat, it's probably going to go to the shortstop or second baseman, back to the first baseman. That's three people touching the baseball on one play in one instance. So, you know, I think we're a long way away from having sports this season. It wouldn't shock me if we went the rest of the year without sports.
There's been a lot of talk about Dak Prescott this week as well, about the party that he did or didn't have, the TMZ photo, and what the repercussions would be for one of, you know, the big ticket items in the NFL. What's the latest there? He said that he had less than 10 in his house, so it was allowed?
Yeah, he said he had less than 10, but it looked like 30, and it's just pretty irresponsible. It's pretty irresponsible for a guy who still doesn't have his long-term deal, a long-term contract. You know, Dak Prescott last year basically said he was seeking $40 million a year. $40 million a year. And the Cowboys were offering 30. My God, just take the 30. What's the difference? Especially when you're in Texas with those state taxes. So I think, you know, it kind of makes him look a bit immature. It kind of makes Dak Prescott, it makes him look irresponsible. And it can't be, you know, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, can't be pleased with this situation. And also, don't forget Ezekiel Elliott, a running back who got paid well last offseason. He got paid handsomely by the Dallas Cowboys. He was at that party, at that function where there was about 30 people there. So it's just irresponsible. People are just thinking, hey, do you really want to put the franchise in the hands of a Dak Prescott who is not really obeying the rules of social distancing and just kind of staying in the house and not partying? Can you just go without a party for a weekend? I mean, it was mind-boggling.
Is there anybody in the whole of the USA that hasn't watched Tiger King?
You know what? There's a couple. I have my co-host, Matt Steinitz. He hasn't gone down the Tiger King road yet. I actually finished it over the weekend, Dwayne. And I got to tell you, it was a trippy journey. It was a journey that I wasn't expecting. I didn't brace for. And it's a journey I never want to go back down. That place... That document, man, you talk about some sick people. Oh, man, I did not expect anything. Did you check it out? Did you finish Tiger King? Are you guys big on Tiger King in Australia?
I don't think there's anybody else in Australia that hasn't seen it either. It's been the most watched special on Netflix, I think, of all time around the world. So, yeah, everybody's been talking about it here as well. Which leads me to my next question.
I mean, he's a household name now.
Absolutely, which leads me to my next question. That is, the next big one might be The Last Dance. I understand it's being released April 19. So in a few days' time, the Chicago Bulls championship doco from 1998 with warts and all, we're told.
Oh, my. You know, people on social media begged for this to be moved up. Originally, it was scheduled to air right after the NBA Finals in mid-June. But with COVID-19 and everybody basically self-quarantining in their homes, they moved it up to this Sunday night. And I'm telling you what, it comes at the right time. We need something. I think everybody's tired of watching the old throwback games. They show game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals over and over and over, much to the dismay of fellow Warrior fans. So this Jordan documentary, to see how Jordan was behind the scenes, The Last Dance of the 1998 season, I think it's going to be fascinating TV. I'm a big fan of the 30 for 30 that they air out here on ESPN, and I'm sure you guys see it down there in Australia. This is going to be compelling television, man, and it's something we need. It's something we need around the world to kind of unite and watch this documentary, man. So I'm looking forward to it. It's appointment TV. I got the popcorn ready, Dwayne. We got the snacks ready. We're ready to go for Sunday night when The Last Dance airs on ESPN.
Talking to Bonta Hill, midday co-host and 49ers pre- and post-game show host on 95.7 The Game. Before I let you go, Bonta, just to take this The Last Dance a little further, we've been talking about kids here in Australia and going back, way back when we were kids, you wanted to be the person with flair and the exuberant, you know, flamboyant personality, and we're probably going to see one in this documentary. Dennis Rodman, would he be top 5 all-time personalities, charismatic personalities with flair in American sport?
You know what? That's a great question, Dwayne. And you got to think that Dennis Rodman was the originator. You know, I think he is top five. He maybe is top three, and there's probably nobody who's topped him. You know, some people say Terrell Owens, who just made the NFL Hall of Fame. They say he's flamboyant, Chad Johnson, Randy, you know, guys like that. But I don't believe there's anything like Dennis Rodman. I remember as a kid when he did move on to San Antonio to play with the Spurs after his Pistons days. And all of a sudden, you see on NBA on NBC, he's got the dyed hair. And the hair changed, the hair color changed every single game. And honestly, Michael Silver wrote the cover story for Sports Illustrated that season where Dennis Rodman was on the cover. And, it was just incredible. We had never seen anything like it in American sports. And then you see him, you know, walking down the street in Chicago with a wedding dress and he's wearing a lipstick and he has the painted nails. I mean, he is numero uno. And when I think about flamboyant people, there's nobody in the stratosphere of the Dennis Rodman. And I think people, if they didn't watch the 30-for-30 on Dennis Rodman when it was a Detroit Piston and what happened there with San Antonio and with the Chicago Bulls and his life after the NBA, check out The Last Dance, because I have no idea how Dennis Rodman and Michael Jordan coexisted on the same team with the serious nature of Michael Jordan and how he approached the game and Dennis Rodman, who partied all night. He came in and still grabbed your 20 rebounds and dropped his 7 assists without scoring a bucket. It's one of Phil Jackson's best coaching jobs. It has to be. It has to be the best coaching job of his career to have Dennis Rodman stay focused with Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. And hopefully we see that story in The Last Dance to where Steve Kerr and Joe Bush were. Phil Jackson forced them to party with Dennis Rodman just to hang out with them one night. And they said they had never had a night like that. They were screwed. They didn't get back to the hotel, I believe, until 7 in the morning. That's how hard Dennis Rodman partied. So, you know, Dwayne, that's a great question. And I think there's nobody even close, even sniffing Dennis Rodman, when it comes to the most flamboyant athlete in American sport history.
I might open the lines up on this program. 1-300-736-736 in world sport. Have you ever seen anything like it in terms of flamboyant characters like Dennis Rodman? Because this is in his Carmen Electra days, because back in the special, the 30 for 30 special you're talking about was isolated his relationship with Madonna, who actually rang up and said, I want to meet this guy. I want to come to your games. So that's like Lady Gaga right now ringing someone up and saying, hey, I want to come and watch you if you can. And how about giving me a ticket to your game?
I mean, Madonna, Carmen Electra from Baywatch. I mean, Dennis Rodman had it going, man. You talk about the life. I mean, who better to be Dennis Rodman? And really, Madonna, he made her chase around. And think about that. Madonna in her prime, who's the biggest pop star out here in America, and Dennis Rodman basically was like, yeah, I'm ready to move on to the next. Imagine that. Imagine that, Dwayne. So, yeah. I mean, Dennis Rodman had it all. And some of his afterlife, after the NBA, like, some of the decisions he made has been very poor. You know, the things about him not being around his kids, that kind of bugs me the wrong way. But, you know, he lived his life to the fullest, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's one of the most amazing stories in the history of world sport. Hey, great to have you, Bonner. I really appreciate you joining me on the program, and can't wait to have a little listen to you when the NFL gets up and running as well. Good luck with all of that, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, Dwayne, I'm sorry about the phone line there at the beginning of the interview. I always love catching up with you guys. Tell everybody out there in Australia, stay safe. We'll defeat this COVID-19, man, and we'll get back to normalcy very, very soon. Take care, guys.
Love the positivity. Bonter Hill, midday co-host and 49ers game show host on 95.7 The Game. Talking about the Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, the 98 Bulls, and people that were flamboyant characters in world sport, not just Australian sport. And is Dennis Rodman the number one, the numero uno? 1-300-736-736. Take a few of your calls on that straight after the break on Dwayne's Spot.